Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, January 13th, and coming up in today's episode. As Delhi High Court rebukes Aam Aadmi Party over CAG report, Arvind Kejriwal meets Election Commission to lodge a complaint. Umar Abdullah reminds Prime Minister Narendra Modi of statehood promise in Kashmir. How much revenue will the Mahakumbh bring to Uttar Pradesh? And India summons Bangladesh envoy over souring ties. First up, the Delhi High Court has slammed the Aam Aadmi Party-led government over delay in the handover of a Comptroller, Auditor General or CAG report on the alleged liquor scam. This is the same case because of which the 2021 excise policy was retracted and top leaders of Aam Aadmi Party, including former Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal, spent substantial time behind bars. Quote, "The way you've been dragging your feet is something unfortunate. You should have been prompt in sending it to the Speaker and having a discussion at the floor of the Assembly," unquote, the court told the Delhi government today. Justice Sachin Datta added, and I quote, "The delay in sending the reports to the Lieutenant Governor and your handling of the matter raises serious doubts over your bona fides," unquote. The court also posted the plea by BJP MLAs, including Vijendra Gupta, seeking a special session of the Delhi Assembly for later today, but also said that the elections are around the corner, so how can there be a special session now? Speaking of the election, the national capital will vote on February 5th, and as a result, the exchanges between Aam Aadmi Party and BJP have become heated up, with the latter attacking the former over Mr. Kejriwal's residence's renovation. The BJP referred to a CAG finding, suggesting that the renovation of the CM house was 32 crore over cost due to corruption. Today, current Chief Minister Atishi filed her nomination paper, after which Aam Aadmi Party Supremo Kejriwal and other top leaders have scheduled a meeting with the Election Commission. Addressing the media before meeting the commission, he thanked the commission for agreeing to the meet and said, "We have two issues. Our Parparganj candidate Awadh Ocha, who is a voter from Greater Noida, has applied to be a voter of Delhi but has not received any information. The last day to fill form was 8th of January. CEO Delhi issued an order where she said the last date is 7th of January. Mysteriously, another order was issued saying that it is 6th of January. This is unlawful and against the guidelines of Election Commission. It seems something has conspired behind our backs. Has this order been issued to debar Awadh Ocha?" He additionally said that BJP is adding fake voters to electoral lists, another issue they will raise with the Election Commission. However, BJP has called it a desperate last attempt by Aam Aadmi Party, who is definitely losing the election, according to BJP members. But Aam Aadmi Party maintains they have proof that such fake voters are being added to the electoral rolls. India bloc ally and Jammu and Kashmir Chief Minister Umar Abdullah reminded Prime Minister Narendra Modi of a statehood restoration promise while acknowledging his other efforts for the territory. While addressing a gathering after the inauguration of the Z-Mod tunnel, Mr. Abdullah said, and I quote, "Prime Minister Modi, after securing his third term, participated in the International Yoga Day in Srinagar, where people were promised that elections would be held and they would get to choose their own government. You, Mr. Modi, fulfilled your promise and polls were held within 4 months. A new government was elected and as a result, I'm talking to you here as a chief minister," unquote. The recent election in the valley was the first one since the controversial abrogation of Article 370, which granted a special status to the former state in 2019 and which also resulted in the bifurcation of the state into two union territories. The 2024 election also came after a hiatus of 8 years, during which the territory was under president's rule. During the election campaign last year, where India bloc allies Congress and Mr. Abdullah's NC ran together, the Congress party's oft-repeated promise to the people was not only to restore statehood but also restore Article 370 as well. While BJP leaders, including Prime Minister Modi and Amit Shah, had spoken about a restoration of statehood, everyone from BJP had stayed away from promising anything about Article 370, with some of the leaders saying that it would never be restored. The NC, however, won a clear majority without needing an alliance with Congress, who scored abysmally. Today, during the inauguration of the Z-Mod tunnel, also called as the Sonmark tunnel, Mr. Abdullah reminded the Prime Minister of his promise to restore statehood. Quote, "While today is a momentous day for the infrastructure of Jammu and Kashmir, it is important to remember the promises made to the people of Jammu and Kashmir, particularly the restoration of statehood. In the last 15 days, you, Mr. Modi, inaugurated two important infrastructure projects in Jammu and Kashmir, which shows your commitment to the development. Earlier, you promised to hold free and fair elections in Jammu and Kashmir, and you delivered that. Now, the promise of statehood restoration needs to be fulfilled as well, unquote. The Zedmore Tunnel will enhance connectivity between Srinagar and Sonamarg and provide an all-weather route for travellers. It is expected to reduce time travel from over 2 hours to just under 15 minutes. Following the inauguration, Prime Minister Modi travelled to the Sonamarg Tunnel. He inspected the tunnel and took detailed information about its route map and construction work. More than 40 crore devotees will arrive at the confluence of Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati rivers to participate in Mahakumbh, a number more than Russia or United States population. The Mahakumbh Mela began in UP's Prayagraj today, with over 50 lakh people taking a dip in the river Sangam. But how is this mega event going to impact the state? Well, it can bring the state more than 2 lakh crore if each of the visitors spends an average of Rs 5,000 during their trip. The event, being held after 12 years, has been set up at around 4,000 hectares and will continue till February 26. It is expected to give a massive boost to the economic growth of Uttar Pradesh, the most populous state of India. The Yogi Adityanath-led government has allocated around 7,000 crore rupees budget for the 45-day-long mega event. According to estimates, the event may generate Rs 2 lakh crore if each of the 40 crore visitors spends an average of Rs 5,000. News agency IANS, citing industry estimates, said the average expenditure per person could even rise to Rs 10,000, and then the total economic impact could reach Rs 4 lakh crore. It is also expected to boost both nominal as well as real GDP by over 1%. Visitors from world over arrived at the Kumbh Mela today, not just Indians or Hindus, but also people from multiple faiths in what is believed to be holiest of the waters. Speaking with news agencies, tourists from Germany, from Russia, from USA spoke highly of what importance this event held for them. Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath said Prayagraj's Ardh Kumbh Mela in 2019 contributed Rs 1.2 lakh crore to the state's economy. The Ardh or Half Kumbh Mela in 2019 had attracted about 24 crore pilgrims. Then speaking with a news channel, he said with an expected number of 40 crore devotees turning up this year, the Mahakumbh is projected to generate up to Rs 2 lakh crore. Mr. Adityanath, a member of the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, described Mahakumbh as the world's largest temporary city, which may accommodate between 50 lakh to 1 crore devotees at any given time. According to the Confederation of All India Traders, CAIT, the food and beverage sector, including packaged foods, water, biscuits, juices and meals, is estimated to add Rs 20,000 crore to the overall trade. The traders' body also said the religious items and offerings such as oil lamps, Ganga water, idols, incense sticks and religious books are another major area of economic activity, contributing an estimated Rs 20,000 crore. Transportation and logistics, including local and interstate services, freight and taxis, are expected to account for Rs 10,000 crore, while tourism services such as tour guides, travel packages and related activities are likely to contribute another Rs 10,000 crore, the CAIT said. Temporary medical camps, Ayurvedic products and medicines could bring in Rs 3,000 crore, while sectors like e-ticketing, digital payments, Wi-Fi services and mobile charging stations are expected to see business worth Rs 1,000 crore. Entertainment and media, including advertising and promotional activities, are projected to generate yet another Rs 10,000 crore in the trade, the CAIT said. The simmering straining of India-Bangladesh ties continues with the latest back-and-forth summon for each other's envoys. A day after Bangladesh Ministry of Foreign Affairs summoned Indian High Commissioner Pranay Verma, following allegations that India was attempting to construct fences at five specific locations along the 4,156-kilometer-long Indo-Bangladesh border, India has issued a summon for Nurul Islam, Deputy High Commissioner of Bangladesh to India, to discuss the escalating tensions between New Delhi and Dhaka. Mr. Verma arrived at the Foreign Ministry headquarters in Dhaka around 3 p.m. yesterday local time. His meeting with Bangladeshi Foreign Secretary Jashim Uddin lasted approximately 45 minutes, details of which are not known yet. According to the State Bangladesh News Agency, Dhaka and New Delhi have understanding with regard to fencing the border security. Our two border guard posts, BSF and BGP, which are Border Security Force from India and Border Guard Bangladesh, have been in communication with this regard. We expect that this understanding will be implemented and there will be a cooperative approach to combating crimes along the border, Mr. Verma had said regarding the meeting. Since the forced ouster of former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, the political turmoil in Bangladesh has deeply impacted India as well. On August 5, 2024, Ms. Hasina fled Bangladesh by helicopter to India as protesters overran the streets of Dhaka, ultimately taking over the Prime Ministerial Palace as well. She escaped by the skin of her teeth, ending her 15-year rule, which was marked by allegations of human rights abuses. The weeks leading up to her ousting were bloody, with more than 450 dying in the unrest. Despite Ms. Hasina's escape to India, Yunus, Muhammad Yunus, has maintained that his caretaker government would continue to foster friendly relations with everyone. The caretaker government, under the guidance of Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus, had big promises during its initial days. However, now it has been blamed for atrocities against minorities in the country, with frequent reports of riots, some of them resulting in death, police brutality, among other allegations. His promise made in August of 2024 in a televised address that "we will maintain friendly relation with all countries and neighbors" seems in trouble now. A former ISKCON member and Hindu priest, Chinmoy Krishna Das, was arrested on charges of sedition. That one move in Bangladesh resulted in widespread unrest, protests and counter-protests across the border in both the countries. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.